16. I want to bring you a message. If you have a bulletin, you have the title on the back and you have the outline there. I want to bring you a message this morning entitled Pen to Paper. Pen to Paper. And that's exactly what the psalmist David does here in 1 Chronicles 16. He puts pen to paper and he is penning a psalm. We know that the inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit. The entirety of the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. But I want to look this morning, I want us to see what inspired David. What were the activities, what were the occasions that inspired him to pen this psalm that we find in 1 Chronicles 16. Now, the content of the psalm, we're not going to see until, Lord willing, tonight, okay? But this morning, I just want us to see what motivated David, what stirred David, what moved David to put pen to paper, to pen this psalm. Now, by the way, I would encourage all of us, and we did this last year, I encouraged you last year to put pen to paper. Now, not a lot of people put pen to paper anymore. They put their fingers to the keyboard. Okay, I get that, and that's okay if that's what you do. If you put your fingers to the touch screen, that's okay too. But in one way or another, in one manner or another, put pen to paper and be thoughtful about what God has done for you. Okay? Whether you take a subject and just write all the blessings. I encourage you this Tuesday night when we come for the praise service, I encourage you to come with maybe a passage of Scripture that has meant something to you this year, or maybe an attribute of God that has been dear to you this year. And let's come and let's lift up who God is, okay? And so whether it's a passage, whether it's an attribute of God, let's come Tuesday night and let's be ready. But last year, our family, we took the ABCs and we made a whole bunch of lists. The ABCs, or at least my wife and I did, the kids, where are my kids at? That they were kind of hesitant about it, but we made a whole bunch of lists of thankfulness, things we were thankful about. We took the Lord Jesus Christ and went A through Z, and I think we did that maybe in the praise service last year, but A through Z, we took character traits, a lot of traits of the Lord Jesus Christ and just went A to Z. We took family and just went A to Z, what we're thankful about when it comes to our family. We took godly men and women that have meant something in our lives, and we tried to name godly men and women, A, B, C, all the way down. Again, when you get to X and Z, that's kind of hard, but the best you can. And we tried to put pen to paper. We tried to be thoughtful about God and who He is and what He does. And we tried to allow that thoughtfulness lead us to thankfulness. And I'd encourage you to do that because that's what we find in our text today in 1 Chronicles 16. We find a man who was moved by what God had done, and he was moved to pen a psalm of thankfulness. 1 Chronicles 16, you're probably there. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll allow the children to be dismissed this morning. We find in verse number 1, we find immediately the occasion that is going to lead David to pen this psalm. The Bible says in verse number 1, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." And drop down to verse number 7. "Then on that day, all right, are you with me? All right, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to do what? To thank the Lord. Into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." And so I want us to see this morning what moved David to pen this psalm and then to give it to Asaph, the chief musician, so that he could put it to music. What moved him to do that? So that's what I want us to see today. Father, we love you today. Father, I pray that you would help all of us to be thoughtful this week and to allow that thoughtfulness move us to thankfulness. Father, may every single one of us take some time this week, whether it's Thursday or whether it's every day this week, whether it's Tuesday night. Lord, I pray that it's more than just once. I pray that it's more than just one week or one day of the year, Father. I pray that you would daily allow us and help us to meditate and to allow our thoughtfulness about who you are and what you do. And Lord, I pray that it would move us to thankfulness. And that's exactly what has happened in the life of David. And Father, may that happen to us even today. May you stir us and move us today. And Father, we'll thank you for it. Father, help our children. Help Miss Beverly as she teaches. And Lord, I pray that today, if there would be a child who needs to be saved, Father, if there would be a teenager or an adult in this auditorium today who needs to be saved, Father, who need to have their sins forgiven, plunged beneath the blood of Christ, Father, I pray that today would be that very day. Father, we love you. We need you. We need your help. We need your power. It's your power. We don't have any power. We need your power. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to move in our midst today and would remind and stir us and encourage our hearts. And we'll thank and praise you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want us to see number one this morning. We're going to go back and get the full context of what's going on here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16 as we see what moved David to pen this psalm of thanksgiving. Number one this morning, I want us to see this. David was moved by the certainty of God's commands. David was moved by the certainty of God's commands. Drop back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 15 with me, if you would. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. David was moved by the certainty of God's commands. Verse number 1 of 1 Chronicles 15, the Bible says, "And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever." Now, David had had this same desire to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. He had this desire 3 months earlier. And he had this desire, and they went to bring the ark back. And I want us to drop back even further into chapter number 13. Chapter number 13, let's just begin in verse number 1. "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." Now, if you'll remember, the Ark of the Covenant was taken. If you'll remember back in the first part of Samuel when Eli was priest, the Philistines came against the nation of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines. The messenger came back and told Eli. That's when Eli fell back off of his chair and died, which was a fulfillment of the prophecy that God had given to the young man Samuel. And so the Ark of the Covenant has not been where it's supposed to be. And so David desires to bring it back. Verse number 4, and the Bible says, "And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Bela, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels, with cymbals and with trumpets." Now, they had good intentions. They had a wonderful desire. David had a wonderful desire to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, to put it in its proper place, to put it in the tabernacle. That was David's desire. And so they went to get it. They put the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart, pulled by oxen. And the Bible says that these two men, Uzzah and Ahio, are driving the cart. They're moving the oxen in the right direction. Verse number 9. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Now we would look at that and we would say, my goodness, they're trying to do a good thing. They have wonderful intentions. They're trying to bring the ark of the covenant back to its proper place. Then why in the world would God kill this man that just put his hand out to steady the ark? He didn't want the ark to fall off of the cart. He didn't want the ark to have any harm to it. Why in the world would God kill him? Well, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 4 and verse number 15, and when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. Notice this. But they shall not touch any holy thing. They shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Father, that's God's command. That's God's word. And what God says, He means. What He says, He means. Not only were they not to touch any holy thing, there were certain people who were to carry the ark. There was a certain way they were supposed to carry the ark. The ark had rings on each side, and they were to put the staves, the rods, through the sides of the ark. And the ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the priests, of the Levites, if you will. Because they didn't do any of that. First of all, they weren't supposed to touch it, but secondly, they weren't carrying it the way that they were supposed to do it. By the way, who did they get the idea from to carry it in a cart, in a wagon, pulled by oxen? Who did they get that idea from? The Philistines. The Philistines had done the very same thing. And so they got the idea from the world. They got the idea from the Philistines. Well, the Philistines did it that way. Hey, and this is a new cart. That's a wonderful thing. We're going to pull this Ark of the Covenant. We're going to put it in this cart. We're going to take it back to Jerusalem. Back in 1 Chronicles 13. You're probably still there. Verse number 10. The Bible says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. See, here's the problem in the day that we live. We live in the day of grace, and that's true. I believe that. The Bible teaches that. Okay, we live in the day of grace. God has shed His grace upon us. He has shed His grace and His love abroad in our hearts. The Bible says in the book of Romans, He has displayed and demonstrated and manifested His grace to us. But because we live in the day of grace, we think God's commands and words just don't matter anymore. Because we presume upon God's grace. We presume that, okay, it doesn't matter if I sin. God is always gracious and is always merciful and He'll forgive me if I sin. That's presumptuous. And Psalm 19 says to be careful of presumptuous sins. And so we live in the day of grace, and we look back to the cross and we see that Jesus Christ has come and He shed His blood and He died on the cross of Calvary. And so we get this idea that we can just live any way that we want. It doesn't matter what the Bible says anymore. I have the blood of Christ applied to my life. I'm on my way to heaven. Everything's okay, so I can just live and let live. And I submit to us this morning that what moved David to pen this psalm was his certainty in God's commands. Notice what the Bible says. Let's finish real quickly here in chapter number 13, verse number 11. Notice this. Notice in verse number 11. And David was displeased. You know what, David? So what? Who cares if you're displeased? Now, I say that very reverently because David, probably a greater Christian, greater lover of God than most of us will probably ever be, but David was displeased. And the Bible says, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was mad. David was displeased that God would kill a man for just putting his hand upon the ark to steady it, to keep it from coming out of the cart and busting apart. He was upset at God about that. But here's the thing. Good intentions never substitute, they never trump God's instructions. Good intentions are never a substitute for God's instructions. And David was moved by the certainty of God's commands. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 140, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Proverbs 16:25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of" what? "Of death." There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If that way does not line up with the Word of God, the end thereof are the ways of death, the Bible says. And David, after he had had time to reflect and think over these 3 months after the death of Uzzah, and he had thought about what had happened there and the fact that God kept His Word, no one is to touch any holy thing lest they die, David was moved to pen this psalm of thanksgiving. And he was moved by the certainty of God's commands. Look again in chapter number 15 with me if you would. 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. We began to read there in verse number 2. "Then David said, None ought to carry the ark of God, but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto Him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto His place which He had prepared for it." Drop down if you would to verse number 13. Notice what is said here. He said, "For because ye did it not at the first." He said, you didn't do it the right way the first time. He said, "The Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought Him not after the" what? The due order. We serve an orderly God, don't we? He said, we didn't do it after the due order. We didn't do it the way God commanded us to do it. We didn't do it the way God had showed us and spoke to us and given us the commands. We didn't do it that way. And after he had time to reflect, he said, you know what? God was right. It wasn't good that I was displeased. It wasn't good that I was angry at God. Because God was right. Number one, this morning David was moved by the certainty of God's commands. Number two, and this goes right along with number one. Number two, David was moved by the devotion of God's discipline. He was moved by the certainty of God's command. He was moved by the devotion of God's discipline. We already read in 1 Chronicles 13, verses 9 through 11, that was God's discipline, that was God's chastening for the disobedience to His command. David was moved by the devotion of God's discipline. Are you ever moved to thank God when He spanks you? Am I ever moved to thank God when He spanks me for doing something wrong to get me back into the way of righteousness, if you will, back into the right path, back on the right path? David, again, after he had, Pastor, how do you know it was 3 months? Look again in chapter number 13. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 13 again. Look at verse number 12. Fix your eyes there. And the Bible says, "And David was afraid of God that day, saying, How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" Okay, David, the answer to that is you do it the way God told you to do it. You do it according to the due order. If God's going to kill this man, how am I going to bring the ark back? The way God told you to. Verse number 13, "So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. He was moved by the devotion of God's discipline. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That's true in the earthly family. That's true with an earthly father. And that's true with our heavenly Father. Would you hold your place here? And would you go to the book of Hebrews with me real quickly? Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Number one, David was moved by the certainty of God's commands. Number two, David was moved by the devotion of God's discipline. God, you're faithful. Yes, I was displeased when you put your hand against Uzzah, when Uzzah was stricken and Uzzah was slain. I was displeased with you, but Lord, I understand the devotion of your discipline. I understand that you discipline us in love, that you don't discipline just to discipline and just to have fun with it. No, you do it in devotion and love. By the way, as earthly fathers, that's the way we should discipline as well. Hebrews chapter number 12, we'll begin in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." I don't believe there's a single one of us in here this morning that would say that you enjoyed the rod when you were a child. Did you? I've told y'all this before, but the last time I received the rod from my dad, I think I was 15 years old, and my dad told me to go cut a limb out of the bush that was in our front yard. I had disrespected him, and I deserved it. And he told me to go cut that limb out of that bush, and you know how it goes. I cut a little bitty baby one. And he went back and got one himself. And he disciplined me right there in the middle of our garden, in the middle of our pasture, with people driving by. He disciplined me up and down my legs. And that was the last time I ever got discipline from my dad, because I didn't want it anymore. You know, I didn't enjoy that at the time. Matter of fact, I was probably, as a 15-year-old, I was probably a little displeased. May have been a little bit mad. But you know, I look back at that now and I'm very grateful. I look back now and I'm very thankful. My dad taught me to be respectful. My dad taught me through discipline, not only his love for me, but his love for the Lord. And he taught me. And that's what God has to do to us sometimes when we get out of line and when his spiritual children become a little wayward. He has to do the exact same thing. He has to chastise. We don't always enjoy it, but we should always be grateful for it. Because what it does is it keeps us in the paths of righteousness. You see, a father, the Bible says in Proverbs, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." Because when we spare our rod, we're allowing them to continue on a path to absolute destruction. "Well, I love my children too much to discipline them." No, you don't. You hate your kids. "Well, I would never touch my child." Well, then you hate your kids. Because you are allowing them to continue down a road and on a path that's going to lead them to absolute destruction. No. A loving father is going to lovingly discipline and chasten and correct and show their child the devotion that they have for them because they want them to be on the right path. He was moved by the certainty of God's commands. And he was moved by the devotion of God's discipline. Look at verse number 6 here in Hebrews 12. It says, "For whom the Lord," what? What's the word there? Loveth. He chasteneth. and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement. Look, if you can involve yourself in sin and never be chastened from the hand of God, then you ought to do some thinking. You ought to do some biblical searching. Because the Bible says that whom God loves, He chastens. Last part of verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's a Bible word. We've made it a bad word, but it's a Bible word. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Boy, that's an understatement, isn't it? No, it doesn't seem to be joyous. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Number one, David was moved by the certainty of God's commands. Listen, God's commands are sure and certain, and we need to listen to them. Number two, David was moved by the devotion of God's discipline. Then let me give you number three back in 1 Chronicles 15, if we could go there. Number three, David was moved by the faithfulness of God's forgiveness. Would you look at chapter number 15? We already read a few verses here. Three things happen here in chapter number 15. They acknowledge the Scriptures. They say, okay, we didn't do it after the due order. This is what God says. These are the people that are supposed to carry it. This is how it's supposed to be carried. It's not supposed to be carried on a cart. It's not supposed to be pulled by oxen. Nobody's supposed to touch it. That was wrong. We did that wrong. Here's how it's supposed to be. So, first of all, they acknowledged the Scriptures that God's commands are certain. Secondly, they admitted their sin. And thirdly, God allowed them a second chance. Aren't you thankful for forgiveness? Aren't you thankful for second chances? They acknowledged the Scriptures. Verse number 2. Verse number 13 we already read. Verse number 15, And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. They acknowledged the Scriptures. They admitted their sin. Verse number 13, we already read it. They said, look, we did not do it after the due order. We didn't follow God's commands. They acknowledged the Scriptures. They admitted their sin. By the way, notice what happens in verse number 14. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord. Excuse me, the Lord God of Israel. He admitted his sin. And then they were allowed a second chance. Verse number 15, again, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounded by lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Cushiah. Drop down to verse number 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. It came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers, and Chenaniah, the master of the song with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. Drop down, if you would, to chapter 16, verse 5. I want you to notice something. This isn't the message, just a side note. Verse 4, he says, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jeiel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah. And who's the next one? And Obed-Edom. The very place where the ark was. God had blessed him for 3 months. Now they're coming to take the ark. It didn't bother him though. He still wanted to serve. And the Bible says, Obed-Edom and Jeiel with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also and Jehaziel the priest with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. He was moved by the certainty of God's commands. He was moved by the devotion of God's discipline. He was moved by the faithfulness of God's forgiveness. And then look at verse number 8. Verses 7 and 8. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Verse number 8, and Lord willing, we'll look at this tonight. This begins the psalm. What does he say? Give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. God's good, isn't He? Do you ever stop and think about that? Do you ever stop and put pen to paper? Any of you list makers? My wife is a master list maker, and I love her for it. She's old school. She still does pencil and paper. She doesn't do it on her phone. She's a master list maker. And I'll find lists laying around on our kitchen table. I'll find them laying around. Fellowships, different things that we have going on, things that need to be done. And I'm thankful she's a master list maker because I forget and she doesn't. And I'll find these lists scattered around and they're checked. She does it when we go on trips. She'll make a list. Everything that needs to be taken. And it'll get checked off. If she didn't do that, we'd forget a lot of things. You know what she does? She puts pen to paper. What motivates her to do that? Because she's a mom. Because she wants everything to be perfect. Because she doesn't want us to forget anything. She just puts pen to paper. Let me ask, when was the last time you put pen to paper in thoughtfulness, in thoughtful meditation? We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. But in thoughtful meditation, you put pen to paper about how good God's been to you. I'm thankful for David. David wasn't a perfect man, but he knew when he had done wrong. When he did wrong with Bathsheba, he knew it. It took him a while to admit it, but he did. And he was wrong here, but he knew it, and he admitted it. And because of it, he put pen to paper, and he penned a psalm of thanksgiving to God. I'd encourage us and I would challenge us this week, even today, even right now, as we go to the invitation here in just a moment, to allow thoughtful meditation to move us to motivated thankfulness. Thoughtful meditation ought to motivate us to thankfulness. And I pray that we'll do that. I pray that we'll put pen to paper, whether it's your fingers on a touch screen on your phone, or whether it's actual pen to paper, whatever it may be. I pray that we'll spend some time being thoughtful about what God is. Whether it's ABCs or what, it doesn't matter. But just be thoughtful about what God's in. By the way, what we're going to look at tonight, these are David's thoughts. This is what he's praising God about. This is what we talked about what moved him to write it. Tonight we'll see what he was praising God about. Just praising for who he is and what he did, primarily for who he is. But then for what he had done. And by the way, we think many times that inspiration, that the moving to put something pen to paper is something grand. No, no, no. It was sin. But it was the forgiveness of sin. It was the acknowledgement of sin. It was a man coming to the reality. God's Word's right. His commands are certain. What He says, He'll follow through with. You know what? God's discipline, I was displeased with it, but it shows His devotion. It shows His love for us. That He's not going to overlook sin. And what He said back in Numbers 4 when He said nobody's supposed to touch the holy things, He meant it. But oh, praise His name for His forgiveness. He's faithful to forgive. He's going to... Remember what He said in chapter 13? How are we going to get this back to Jerusalem? If this is going to happen when we try to bring it back, how are we going to do it? If we'll do it God's way. And God is faithful to give us a second chance. Now, it doesn't always happen. But many, many times you can see story after story, example after example in the Scriptures. God gives second chances. But can I say this in closing this morning? Don't presume upon that. Don't say, well, if I mess up here, then God will give me a second chance. That's probably true, but don't presume upon that. How about we just get it right the first time to begin with? Pen to paper. Would you do that this week? Would you maybe even this afternoon? Would you do it before Tuesday? Would you put some pen to paper? Be thoughtful and allow your thoughtfulness to lead you to thankfulness. I pray that we will. God, we love You this morning. Help us. Help us to be a thoughtful people. And Lord, I truly believe that if we'll be a thoughtful people, stirred by our thoughts of who You are, what You do, truly who You are, not just what makes me feel good, but truly who You are, the fact that You love us enough to discipline us when we do wrong. Lord, may our thoughtfulness move us to thankfulness. Lord, I pray that You'll help this morning. I don't know hearts, but You do. I pray that You'd move. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you're physically able this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. Miss Show's going to play. Friend, if you need a believer, do you need to come? Have you been thoughtful? Does your thoughtfulness move you to thankfulness? David was moved. Not by some grand miracle that God had done in his life. He was moved by the acknowledgement of their sin. He was moved by the certainty of God's command when he finally acknowledged, you know what, God always follows through on His Word is right. He was moved by the devotion of God's discipline. He was displeased at first, but you know what? We did it wrong. God was right to discipline us. God was loving to discipline us. The Bible says on that day, the day that they brought the Ark of the Covenant back, the symbol, if you will, of God's presence, on that day, David first delivered this psalm of thanks. He delivered it to Asaph to put to music. Pen to paper. Hey, the truth is we put pen to paper to a lot of things. When we're mad, we're going to send a letter to the editor. When we're in love, we're going to write some love notes. We put pen to paper for a lot of different reasons. But we have the greatest of all reasons to put pen to paper. It's because we have a God in heaven who loves us and loves us enough to chasten us when we do wrong. Hey, dear friend, do you know Christ this morning? If death were to take you today, are you sure that heaven would be your home? Or do you have any doubts? It's only two places where all of us will spend eternity. Either one of two places. In the glories of heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ or in the torments of the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. That's where you'll spend eternity if you reject Jesus Christ. And I can say that on the authority of God's Word. Not on my authority, but on the authority of God's Word. If you reject the free gift of salvation that has already been paid for and offered through the Lord Jesus Christ, your eternal home will be the lake of fire. Great is thy faithfulness, the song says. Morning by morning, new mercies. All I have need of, thou hast provided. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example that we find here in 1 Chronicles. Father, I thank you that you give second chances, but Father, help us never to presume upon that. Father, I thank you that you discipline us when we go astray, that you don't leave us there, that you desire better for us. And Father, I'm thankful that your commands are certain. And because of that, we can have confidence in every single day that we live based upon your word, because your word is sure. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. May that be our hearts even today. Father, challenge us to take some time this week to put pen to paper. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be thoughtful enough to be thankful. We love you, Lord. Bring us back together tonight. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.